Good evening, everybody. It's a good one here. Another episode of Do You Remember That Guy? That's right. I'm your co-host, Jimmy Palumbo, and my other co-host is...
Coach Rick Antonori.
That's right, Coach Rick. Now, Rick is actually a baseball coach at the Division II college level. I am just a jerk-off fan of the Yankees, and he's a jerk-off fan of the Mets. And what we do on this show, we talk about guys. If you were sitting at the bar and you saw a clip of a game and you say, do you remember that guy? I remember that guy. What year did he play? Blah, blah, blah. And we go back and forth, and what we do is Rick takes a Met, I take a Yankee. We don't know who we picked, so it's all like, you know, a surprise to both of us. And that's shocker. It. So it's a shocker. And sometimes there's eerily similarities between the two. So here we go. I'm going to let Rick go first.
Yes. Leading off as a New York Met, Met fans are going to know when we talk about it. Oh, I remember that. He was great. I mean, he goes down as basically one of the all-time defensive plays in Mets history. I can't tell you the play because if I do, I give it away right away.
Defensive players? Okay.
Well, you know, he only played 6 years in the major leagues.
Dell Unser? It's not Dell Unser?
No, not Dell Unser. 2011 to 2013. He played Major League Baseball 2010 to 2015. 6 years. He came up originally with the Padres. He comes to the Mets in 2011. He makes a defensive play that I can't even give you the play because if I do, it gives the guy away. His lifetime batting average was .228 with a .333 on base percentage. He had four big league dingers.
And how many years with the Mets?
Three.
And a total career?
Total career, six.
Oh, so he's this guy's clearly not that good.
Well, the injury. Making this defensive play kind of changed the course of his career.
Wait a minute now. This is kind of...
The big thing about him is this. He comes from where I came from, Whitestone, Queens, New York.
Queens boy.
Played at Bayside Little League. Just a little shout out there to Bayside Little League. But anyway...
That's part of it. Huge part of our listeners. We're big in Bayside.
He came up through the Padres system, played for the Mets, the Dodgers, the Cubs. He is now, we actually have some information on what he's doing now.
Okay.
After his retirement. I mean, I got to give him credit. He's big time college. He is the recruiting coordinator and hitting coach at Vanderbilt University.
Vandy. Okay. So what's this guy's name? I got to hear. What's this guy's name? I'm clueless right now.
Well, in 2012, okay, he's playing left field. The game, ladies and gentlemen, is June 1st, 2012. Johan Santana's on the mound.
Okay.
It's a deep line drive by Yadier Molina into left field, for sure going over his head. Running back as fast as he can, he throws his glove up, makes the catch, and plows into the left field wall.
I remember that. I do remember that play.
His shoulder.
And what was his name? I remember the play. I don't remember his name.
Michael Joseph Baxter.
Michael Baxter. Wow. I know nothing outside of that play you just described. I know nothing about this guy.
I mean, this could be the poster child. Do you remember that guy?
This is the first time that I don't know the player. Yeah.
Chris behind the glass here is completely clueless about who we're talking about. I don't know the name either. I remember the play, though. I remember the guy getting hurt.
My initial thought right away was Andy Chavez when he said the one play.
Okay.
That was the guy that robbed the home run in the NLCS.
That's a good one, too. Yeah, it was 2006 playoffs against the... Scott Rowland hit that ball.
Oh wow! So Michael Baxter was he Mets farm system or he came to the Mets first?
He was came up the Padres.
Okay,
that's how he came up. Let's see, he's with the Padres and the contract was purchased by the Mets, and he starts playing for the Mets in the minor leagues.
So
he earns his way up in 2011, gets in a number of games. 2012 is where with the most at-bats he really has. He gets 179 at-bats in 2012.
So in his 6 years, he never got 500 at-bats.
No.
What was he batting with the Mets when he plowed into the wall?
.263 at the time.
Oh.
He was on base .365. He was actually having a good, he was having a nice little
I
season.
Remember the guy being... It was, that's June talking. Well, that's when the Mets, right after 4th of July, the Mets, they can close Shea. or Citi Field, or whatever they call it.
Oh, shut up.
So he plowed when he after he plowed into the wall.
Yeah.
What was he out for the year? Was he out just a couple?
No, he does come back, and then he actually ties a Major League Baseball record, and it's still the Mets record for 5 walks in a 9-inning game. He tied that with Ryan Howard for the Phillies. Yes.
5 walks in a 9-inning game? That's unbelievable.
August, hold on.
There's no way. The record 4th. Can't be 6.
No, it was 5. The record's 5.
And that's all Major League Baseball since the beginning of time.
Yes. According to what I
found.
That's
tough to do, man. That's a great.
5 walks.
When you know you get those conversations, records are going to be broken. You say, Cy Young and all that. 5 walks. And that might be up there with Johnny Vandermeer because. You have to get up 6 times.
If Gardner didn't do it in his career, it's never going to get done.
That's true. But no, Gardner would do it on 180 pitches. He'd have 6. But no, 6. First of all, you have to get up. How many times do you get up 6 times in a game? Right? You have to divide that. Divided by each time you get up, you walked.
And it has to be a 9-inning game.
Within
9 innings, not extra innings.
You know what? I'm telling you right now, anybody listening to this, that I think is almost unbreakable.
Yeah, because
now it could be random. It could happen, but you're talking a lot of factors there.
Him and Ryan Howard, only 2 guys to do it.
Wow. Well, any of them intentional? No. Why would they?
It doesn't say that. It just says 5 walks in a 9-inning game.
5 walks in a 9-inning game. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
Yeah. But that's my guy. I mean, is that much to talk about? He's coaching.
He's just coached. So he played, plowed into the wall, got injured. Met fans remember that play. And now he's coaching at Vanderbilt. He's a head coach?
No, he's a hitting coach and recruiting coordinator.
And how old is he?
Oh, he's only 1984. So what is that?
He's only not even 40 years old yet.
No, he's not.
Wow. And Vanderbilt's pretty good baseball if I remember. Oh,
Vanderbilt's one of the top ones in the country.
Right.
This is the first time where I feel old on this show because now we have a guy that's younger than me.
Right.
Do you remember that guy's show?
To make it even worse, Chris, he made over $2 million, so he had to do something right.
Oh, my God. Hey, you know what? He could be one of those guys. You know, you coach at Vanderbilt, a lot of times you move on to cool things. Wow. Okay, Michael Baxter. I only remember the guy plowing into the wall. Don't ask me why I remember that play. I just do.
Well, it saved the only Mets no hitter they've ever had.
Right. So that was quite a yes. I remember it well, and I can't say I'm a huge Met fan, but you live in New York, you watch all the games. All right, now my guy. Once again. All right, and we come back. You're going to hear about my. I'll call this maybe, Chris, I'm going to call my guy the MMA guy. We'll be right back.
You know, myself and Gooch are both getting a little older. One of the first things to go is your vision. Thank goodness for our hookup over at Absolute Eyewear in Woodbridge, New Jersey, right on Main Street next to the train station. They have glasses for all ages, all budgets. They have safety glasses, sports glasses. They are a full-service powerhouse offering eye exams and even free lenses for the kids. They work with BCBS, AAA, AARP, giving massive discounts. They're open 5 days a week, closed on Wednesdays and Sundays. Call 732-326-3937 to get your first pair of Ray-Ban, Burberry, Coach, Polo, you name it, they got it. Go see Craig and Johnine right now.
All right, we are back here. Now, I said MMA guy. That's me being facetious. I can't spell that, but I could say it. But now my guy, okay, look, the guy played for 16 years, all right? 1999 to 2014. He was 43-66 with a 4.26 ERA. He was a righty. Played with the Yankees 2006, 7, and 8. He had a whip of 1.372. He played with the Cubs, Detroit, Atlanta, the Yankees, Detroit, Royals, Atlanta, the Rays, the New York Metropolitans, Houston, and then Pittsburgh.
What?
Now, I remember this guy. He also is known for wearing, goggles, glasses. And he had a very good fastball, pretty much straight into the plate. And I think I could hit it if I timed it out right. But the guy wasn't that bad. But he's more known for things that he did while he was playing that blew me away and something that he did after. he gave up. I'm trying to think of anything else. Like he did pitch in the playoffs for the Yankees, never gave up a run, no runs given up in three innings. He was signed as a free agent in 2016 for like 3 years for like $17 million. So he was like a pretty big name at the time.
Let me ask you this question. He's been in a number of playoffs, right?
A little bit, yeah. Cubs and Yankees, really.
Initials OD?
No. No, I'll give you his name. He is Kyle Farnsworth.
Oh, I wouldn't have got okay.
Okay,
Corey Lytle.
Now there's Corey Lytle. God rest his soul. Corey Lytle plowed into a building in a plane. Well, right, literally next to my aunt's building. She like literally saw the. I called her up. She goes, "Yeah, Jimmy. I heard a noise, and there was a plane sticking out of the building." I'm like, "Yeah, that was Corey Lytle."
Was that a Tovio Dotel? I thought maybe.
No, so this is Kyle Farnsworth. Now, he pitched for the Yankees. He was 6-9 with a 4.3 ERA in 3 years for the Yankees. To me, again, that's the purpose of this show. To me, you know, when we look back, do you remember that guy? He was a guy that, like, would strike out four guys in a row and then give up, like, two titanium home runs. Like, he was the guy you did not want to – Ortiz or Manny Ramirez – do not let this guy pitch them. He had this very hard fastball, and he looked kind of nasty. He had all the makings of being like a Hall of Famer reliever, except eventually he would get smoked. And when he was at the Yankees, he gave up some big home runs. They eventually traded him for the Tigers for Ivan Rodriguez, Pudge, which I thought he stunk for the Yankees. But the reason why I'm bringing up Kyle Farnsworth, I can talk about, you know, he pitched in 893 games, which is a lot. He had 57 saves, all of that. But to me,
and he's a journeyman.
Journeyman. And he made some money for sure. But to me, the funny thing is, I gotta rattle this off and see if this is funny to you. Ready?
I know nobody wants to screw with
okay.
him.
Okay. Number one, he was a Mormon. Okay, so that's number one.
Okay.
Number two, in 2003, he got in a brawl with Reds pitcher Paul Wilson and slammed him into the ground. Matter of fact, Chris.
This is the thing that I brought it up on last week's episode. Paul Wilson was in the trade for Rick's guest. Which
Rick's
I don't
guest
want to give
for
away
last week. We don't want to give it away, Keisha. But it was like a slam. It was a vicious. It's on YouTube.
He charged home plate.
Totally a badass move, right? Next year, 2004. He kicked an electric fan in the dugout, okay? Like a nasty, violent kick, blew out his knee, put him on a disabled list. 2005, he's with the Tigers in a bench-clearing brawl versus the Royals. And after, another one, you could Google it on YouTube. And after, like, order was restored, like, okay, fight over. He just decked a player. So this guy had a screw loose. And then in 2009... He had two American Bulldogs, and he came to the field with his non-pitching hand all chewed up because he was in the cage with these Bulldogs or something, and they bit down to, like, through the bone, almost to the tendon. And he tried to tape it up. It was bleeding under his glove. The manager's like, what are you doing? And another crazy thing about him, well, there's more. When he pitched for the Mets, he did well. He became their closer. And then... he gave up, like, he lost like three saves in a row. He gave up a couple of bombs, and they designated him to AAA to work out his problem. And he didn't accept the assignment, and then said publicly, "I'm looking to be picked up by a team so we can play against the Mets." He like hated the Mets organization, even though he was getting shelled. Then he went to the Astros and like Pittsburgh for a cup of coffee, and he ended up sucking. But then he pitched a year in the Mexican League, which this guy like. Made a decent amount of money. Now he's in the Mexican League. But this is the kicker for me. Now, normally, we could talk about guys, their career ends so horribly. They either get in trouble with the law or they're broke or they're, you know, they old child support or something. What he did was, 2015, he tried out for the Orlando Phantoms of the Florida Football Alliance Amateur Football, which there can't be that many amateur football leagues. He played defensive end and led the league in sacks. He had 11. And I say to myself, I don't care what league you're in. 11 sacks is a lot. Like, if you were an NFL player, 11 sacks is like you're in the Pro Bowl. You know what I mean? And then he ended up playing.
How many tackles did he have?
So they, I couldn't get that information. And then he did that for like 3 years. And one of the notes I read was that that, he was still a very big member of the defensive unit, and then the league folded. So I don't know if this league was a, like six guys out on the field with their jeans on playing, but I don't care anyway. The bottom line is even Dave and Chris here at Chop Sports Media didn't even know he played any kind of organized football. It's probably a little more than what people are going to do Thanksgiving morning or the day after Thanksgiving at their football field.
Well, I mean, the guy was – I remember the guy being like – you definitely wanted to go down a dark alley with him.
Yeah, he looked, he had, and yet he's a Mormon. I just think he's one of my favorite guys we've had on the show.
That's a good one, actually.
He had the glasses, he had those goggle looking things.
Wore the shell necklace.
Right, yeah, and he had the little goatee. He looked like if he was with a girl at a bar, you don't talk to his girlfriend. That kind of guy.
No, he's a kind of guy like that. You know, that those pictures for like Dave Stewart. He got on the mound and had like this whole
angry
persona.
Yeah,
you know,
just, yeah.
Yeah, Bob Gibson, Dave Stewart.
His neck was big. Yep, I totally get it.
Veins popping out of their neck. They just wanted to, like, you got in the box and you were like, this guy's going to kill me.
Exactly, you know? Right. Whereas the exact opposite of Mariano Rivera. Mariano looked like some nice guy you'd see at a banquet. Right. And then he's throwing a cutter.
that like chewed up your bats. It was just like.
Also, don't think for one second Mariano was a small guy.
No, he wasn't. But he was not.
He wasn't.
He was thin. But Mariano's the greatest.
He threw a ball that came in that was like weighed 10 pounds and threw going 94 miles an hour.
Right.
Yep, I mean, it would just eat bats alive.
Yep. So my guy Kyle Jerkoff Farnsworth sounded like he's not well liked by anybody. He pitched for 16 years and was a guy with the goggles, fighting everybody, kicking things over, dogs biting his hand. I just love all that stuff. And he played amateur football and had 11 sacks. And, of course, Rick's guy was Michael Baxter, who is the head a coach now at Vanderbilt and blew into the wall to save the no-hitter for the Mets. So Met fans are totally going to remember him, as I did. And that is our show for this evening. Kind of a quick one. How long did we do? A quick show, but a nice show, too. I think these guys are good. These are good ones.
I think they were good. Those are good. Do you, if you know, what happened to that guy? Is he dead? You know, do you remember
him? Remember that guy? So they're both alive. That's what we know.
Both alive, both doing, having success.
Although I think we're going to bet who's going to live longer, Baxter or Farnsworth. I'm going with Baxter, I think.
I'm going with Baxter.
We're
going
to find out Kyle Farnsworth, like, you know, I don't know, did something.
Unless Kyle Farnsworth hears this podcast and go hunts down.
Maybe we should. I might have to get extra security. He's going to come to my house. Anyway, I'll just tell him. I'll give him your address, Rick. All right, that's our show. Do you remember that guy? Michael Baxter for the Mets and Kyle Farnsworth. And we'll see you next week.